Lord, we thank you so much that we have come here to consecrate our lives unto you. Lord, bless us more so on this special day, Sabbath, that we can be fitted for heaven. Lord, in a very special way, we commit the whole world that seems to be in balance of chaos. And in a more special way, I commit my country, Uganda, where tension is very high, and that our internet may be cut off. We pray that you hold, send the holy angels to continue holding the four winds of the world, that your will may be accomplished. We also commit every speaker who is going to minister before us. Let the Holy Spirit guide him or her, that we may be able to hear with the connectivity of the internet, that our souls may be edified for life eternal. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. That let all this be of benefit to all of us who manage to join in this virtual fellowship. We know it's a depiction that one day we shall be under the guidance of one voice physically in heaven when Christ comes. We pray that we'll be among those. When he comes, we shall be picked to heaven. We believe in the very last days of this earthly history, and everything is rolling over very fast. Lord, may all this be encouragement, not suffering. We thank you, Lord, that you really listen to us. That even if we don't mention, you kindly, lovingly provide. Let whatever you have provided for us be used according to your will, and let your glory shine upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Precious and Heavenly Father, as we come before thee once more, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this opportunity to meet together once more. Lord Jesus, I invite your spirit to come in and be amongst us. I especially ask that your spirit be with me, lead and guide me, dear Father God, I pray. Give me the ability to be used in your vineyard to your honor and to your glory. And by your grace, dear Father, please continue to be with us tonight as we continue to learn more of your words of truth and inspiration. Help each one, dear Father, to have a spirit of participation tonight, that we may be water and be watered, dear Father God. And we thank you for such a privilege that we're able to come in and work with each other, edify each other. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sabbath blessings, one and all, again. Thank you for joining us. Sabbath blessings to all those who are joining us this evening, those who are listening over the phones, and those that will be listening to the recording at another time. And Sabbath blessings for those that are not able to be with us tonight for whatever reason, wherever they may be. We hope and pray that they are being encouraged in the Lord and that they are well in the Lord. Thank you for joining us tonight. Our opening song for tonight is hymn 381 in the hymnal, and it's titled Holy Sabbath Day of Rest. I can go ahead and start that out tonight, and if anyone is so inclined to join in, please feel free to go ahead and do so. Once again, Sabbath blessings to each and every one, and thank you for joining us tonight on this Friday Sabbath worship. Elder Rob, do we have the words for the hymn?
Sorry, sister, I do not have that hymn in my list, but I can search it online and put it up.
Sure. Thank you so much. While our dear Elder Rob is searching up the hymn again, it is hymn number 381, and it is titled Holy Sabbath Day of Rest. And again, I'll go ahead and start it out. And if anyone would like to join in, you are more than welcome. Sabbath blessings to all who are joining now. Thank you for being in fellowship with us tonight. Holy Sabbath day of rest, by our Master richly blessed, God created and divine, set aside for a holy time. Yes, a holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it to us of time shall be, throughout all eternity.
Seek not pleasures of this earth, with its folly, noise, and mirth. There are better things in store, over on the other shore. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be, throughout all eternity.
As this Sabbath joy dawns, Friday eve a set of sun, Christian household then should meet, sing and pray at Jesus' feet. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it also sang shall be through our all eternity.
Asking him for saving grace, also victory in the race, and to help us by his power to keep holy every hour. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dear ones, for helping us to sing this blessed Sabbath song. All right, now we'll have open in prayer. And if anyone would like to open the Sabbath for us, please feel free to go ahead and participate in opening prayer.
Dear loving Lord, we once again come before you in a very special way on the Sabbath day, in a very special session that we come together as one entity united to listen from your voice. We dearly commit our dear sister who is going to lead us. send Holy Spirit to touch his lips that he may speak from your very stores. And whatever he's going to speak may edify us for life eternal. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we will be continuing in our study book, Prophets and Kings. We are in chapter 43, and it is entitled The Unseen Watcher. We'll be picking it up from page 534, and we'll just give our dear brother, who so graciously is going to present the screen for me, and we can go ahead and get started. So have a blessings to all those who are coming in. So happy to be in fellowship with you all today. We have been reading for the last few Sabbaths about the Unseen Watcher, and we see that Belshazzar, who is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and if we all remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, how he was basically exalting himself against God, and he was confounded for 7 years, and the Lord so restored him. And Nebuchadnezzar was able to be restored in the Lord, and his kingdom was kept. But Belshazzar, his grandson, lifted himself up against the Lord and blasphemed the things of the Holy Spirit. And we saw that his probation had come to a close with the writing on the wall. And so we're going to continue to explore tonight what is the outcome of that act and how the Lord will have us go. So we'll pick it up from page 534, and we will start there. We're trying to load them.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, dear sister. A little technical difficulty here.
No worries, yeah, Elder Rob. I promise the next time I'll be able to lead out and share the screen. So thank you for even being able to do that for me tonight.
Sorry, my computer has frozen. I'm going to have to exit out of the computer, pull it back up. So it'll take just a few minutes.
In the interim, we could go ahead and sing a scripture song. And if you... page 534... and I think just for those who weren't here before, we're just going to take it back one paragraph before so that we can have a little bit more context. This is as we're going to go into seeing what was pronounced upon Belshazzar and the kingdom of Babylon. So starting off at page 544, the top paragraph. And again, if you're so inclined and the Lord leads, please feel free to share your thoughts and any questions that you may have, and feel free to join in and read as well. Therefore, hear this now. Hear now this, that thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I have the loss of children. And here we see that there was almost some bragging and boasting, some pompness in the way of thinking and of being. And we know that it is not so to be in this manner in the Lord. And continuing, these two things shall come to thee in the moment in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitudes of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts about these two paragraphs that we have read thus far? Any insight, any questions to add?
Somebody started out to brag here. This ain't going to happen to me. But apparently the angel of the Lord came back and says, yes, it's going to happen to you. You're going to lose children and you're going to be a widow. So she's going to lose her husband also. And because of the multitude of thy sorceries, apparently this person was not worshiping God, but worshiping the devil. And so they ask for the judgments of God.
Amen. Any other thoughts or any questions before we move on to see what else we will find out?
I've been looking at the extract, the unseen watcher. It's not really only limited to the widow and the having loss of children, but I can see that whatever we do, let's first find in ourselves that there's somebody who is guiding us, who always sits within us, and that whatever you do must be thought to be in line with the will of God. The unseen watcher. The unseen watcher is always by our sides. That as we become spectators to the world, they are all gazing at us to see is the image of God in us, is what you are doing in darkness, other than blagging and thinking that you are all powerful in whatever you are doing and you are all in all. You are, I can always say, you are not an island that you are instituted to be in this world that it's only the waves that will waver you, but then there is somebody who is ready to abase you. That's what I can comment. The issue of blagging should be out of our thinking.
Amen. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see, that as you mentioned, that there is an unseen watcher and that we ought to be mindful in how we present ourselves before the Lord. He who is exalted shall be abased, and who is abased, the Lord will exalt. So we have to be very, very careful in how we go about doing things. Any other questions or thoughts or comments? If not, then we'll go ahead and continue in the third paragraph, starting out where it says, thy wisdom.
The wisdom and the knowledge, it has pervaded thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else besides me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it rises. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and the desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, and thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine encouragement and with the multitude of the sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. whom thou is, and if so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayst prevail. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear Brother Jonahate. So we see here that he continues to lift himself up against God and to think himself invincible. But we see where it says here, stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorcerers, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. So this wasn't just a now thing. And we learned in the past that the things that he had saw, the things that in history had been written, was for his and for our admonition, that we may learn to turn away from those sinful ways and turn to the Lord. But we see that had not happened with Belshazzar. In fact, it even became worse to now where his probation is closed, and the kingdom of Babylon, that great kingdom that was so exalted, is now infiltrated and is in judgment will be pronounced upon it. Does anyone have any other thoughts or any questions or anything to add to what we have read so far?
I find it interesting because it has, in a way, a mirrored view. And the reason why I say a mirrored view, because of what is being said by the watcher, it smacks of what is being spoken of by the woman on the beast, who did not think that she will ever be a widow, did not think that anything could happen to her, did not think that there was nothing that could stop her, but the Lord said that, but your destruction shall come in 1 hour. So I look at this and I'm like, wow, it's almost like it's a mirror. This person had the same kind of attitude and haughtiness and pride and just wickedness of heart, that it can be said that they almost are like twins in a way. At least this is kind of how I see it, because some of the words are just so similar to what was pronounced against the woman on the beast.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. So true. And as I placed in the chat, we know there's nothing new under the sun, and it is a repeated behavior, but lessons not learned are lessons often repeated. And we see just very here, this is what is happening. Thank you for your insight on that. Anyone else would like to comment or ask a question before we go ahead and move on?
Amen. Brother Joel nailed it on the head. It's a direct reference to Babylon in the last days, even though this is specifically mentioning literal Babylon, but it also has a spiritual application to today. But if you closely look at this paragraph, thy wisdom and thy beauty, or knowledge, it hath perverted thee. These are words that were actually spoken to the devil. If you look in Isaiah, it's almost word for word. Thy wisdom and thy beauty, it hath perverted thee, right? And you come to the second sentence here. It says, you have said in your heart, I am, in other words, God, and none else beside me. So there's no other God but the God of Babylon. And when you look throughout the various ancient civilizations, they had a multiplicity of gods, but all those gods were derived from one god who was in all the other offshoots of himself. So it was actually a polytheistic monotheism. All gods into one god. So that comes from Babylon. Babylon says, I'm God and there's no other gods but me. And that whole Trinitarianism, three in one, is derived from Babylon. And sadly, it has captivated some of our own brethren who believe that there's just one God and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all share in that one God. That comes directly from Babylon.
Thank you, Elder Rob. Anyone else before we continue?
I would like to read just a little paragraph that is connected to this Isaiah voice. And I don't want
Dear Sister Rose, your voice is coming in very far from the computer. Maybe try again.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can everybody hear me? Stop a blessing, everyone. I just wanted to read a little paragraph. I think it's going to be a little bit of page of the same book, 536, paragraph 2, where it tells us that the history of nations speaks to us today. To every nation and to every individual, God has assigned a place in his great plan. Today, men and nations are being tested by the plummet in the hands of him who makes no mistake. All are by their own choice deciding their destiny. And God is overruling all for the accomplishment of his purpose. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. And thank you for sharing. Right, continuing. Who would like to continue in the next paragraph? Starting out. Thou art wearied, feel free.
Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. None shall save the Isaiah 47:1-15 abbreviated.
Does anyone have anything to share in this paragraph? Any insights? Any questions?
In a way, I really do, because there's a lot in that to me. And it kind of... Mankind has this idea with so much pride and arrogance and things like that. And when it's talking about all of these astrologers and stargazers and prognosticators and things like that, it reminds me so much of evolution, that mankind has put so much faith in themselves, creating themselves, that God is not even considered. And so they run to their pseudoscientists for answers and for some kind of help. Help! Please, look what's happening. You got to help us. And what is being said here, from what I can see, is that you can call them all. They're not going to help you because they, too, are going to be like stubble to the fire. So... all that you have placed all your hope in billions of years of evolution and all kinds of strange sciences and things like that, are not going to help you. And the aligning of the stars and the prognostications of the different seasons and the cloud formations, none of that is going to help deliver them at all, even in our day, which they are trying now with, we all know, with the new technology now, is not going to help. And the Lord is basically saying, you're done. Your situation is hopeless. There is no hope in that whole situation. That's kind of what I get out of it.
Yeah, I would be in agreement with that as well. And we see this over and over again. It's sad to say, even up to today, someone gets sick, something happens so quickly, they go to man or soothsayers or things for healing, as opposed to going to God, who is the physician of all physicians, who is able to do more than enough to be able to restore us. So it's a very sad thing, and history repeats itself over and over. Any other thoughts? Any questions from anyone before we continue? Right. Continuing on page 535. If anyone would like to read, feel free to bubble up. It starts off with every nation that has come.
Every nation that has come upon the stage of action has been permitted to occupy its place on the earth, but that that might be determined whether it would fulfill the purposes of a watcher in the holy one. Prophecy has traced the rise and progress of the world's great empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. With each of these, as of the nations of less power, history has repeated itself. Each has had its period of death. Each has failed, its glory faded, its power departed.
Thank you there, Brother Josh. Does anyone have any thoughts, any questions, anything to add? We see that this paragraph where it says here, prophecy has traced the rise and progress of the world's great empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. With each of these, as with nations of less power, history has repeated itself. Each has had its period of test. Each has failed. Its glory faded. Its power departed. And this here, this in this sentence where it shows us history has repeated itself, it's what we have been echoing from the very beginning of when we started out the study tonight. We see, again, there's nothing new under the sun. My question would be, there's an admonition left for us, history and his story, the Bible, and the spirit of prophecy, shows us these examples, but yet still, we fall prey to these very same things. And one would lead to ask, why is that so? Why would we continue in that path if we know the decided end is failure? And not only that we are losing, our place, but we're losing God. And that is a very solemn thing to think about when we explore these things, but a very solemn thing. Does anyone have any thoughts, any questions, anything that they would like to add?
Only this one thing, dear sister, and it's what our Lord Jesus said, and it really is, it's so layered and deep and so true, though. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. So all these nations are doing all these things without God. And without God, they're gonna fail. And it won't matter who they raise up to try to get it into gear or whatever. Without God, there is nothing but failure. So, yeah, history is gonna repeat itself until it completes itself, and that completion is in Christ. So it's gonna keep being like this, and we see how that's going even right now. So that's kind of what came to my mind, is what the Lord said in that one thing.
Amen, amen. Anyone else would like to add something, any questions before we move on?
I would say it's amazing that how history had begun, not only earthly history, even in the heavens when they had the controversy and Lucifer fallen, by he not receiving the only true light, which was his own creator, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he refused him or gave homage, as when the Father had brought the command that everyone should treat him as equal as himself, and he refused, automatically, by refusing the light, he became dark. It's the same thing today. All the different kingdoms, they thought there was going to be that light and there was going to remain forever. But by removing the true light of this world and the universe in itself, what does it become? Darkened, just like the way how Lucifer started. There is no light in anything if the light of life is not in the midst of it. And we can bring it up to today. Everyone right now is fighting for territory and areas, and they want their reigning and whatever it is that they say that they are going to do. But if it's Christless, it will not stand.
Amen. Amen. Dear sister put in the room that what we see here with nations actually can apply to individuals as well. And we see that God allowed every nation to come upon the stage of action and to occupy its place to determine whether it would fulfill the purposes of the Watcher and the Holy One. So each individual has been allowed to have life, has been able to occupy their particular place on this earth, to determine, so testing and probation, right? To determine whether we will fulfill the purposes of God and Christ or not. And that's why there's a record kept to show whether we complied with God's purpose or whether we fought against it.
Amen. Very great point. Very great point. Anyone else would like to add anything? I want to go ahead and just look at the things that are coming in the chat. And there was a comment that says, we see that in our life now, how nations think they are all in themselves and not realizing God alone is in control. Amen. And then it says, the word is removed and man become blinded with our true light of the world. Amen. And Satan knows he's losing the fight, but continues to corrupt man. God is irrelevant to him. And that's the same thing that he wants us to be able to do, is to not put God first and not choose the will of the Lord for our lives by allowing for some of these things to beset us, where we lose sight of what it is that the Lord would have us do. It's a very, 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 very solemn thing for us to keep in mind. But thank you so very much for your comments and for your participation. And we'll continue in the next paragraph. And if anyone would like to continue to participate and read, feel free to go ahead and join in.
Where are we starting from?
We're starting from while nations have rejected God's principle.
Oh, okay. While nations have rejected God's principles, and in this rejection have wrought their own ruin, yet a divine overruling purpose has manifestly been at work throughout the ages. It was this that the prophet Ezekiel saw in the wonderful representation given him during his exile in the land of the Chaldeans, when before his astonished gaze were portrayed the symbols that revealed an overruling power that has to do with the affairs of earthly rulers. Should I stop there?
Let's just pause for a moment to see if anyone has any questions, and then, dear brother, sure. You could feel free to pick it up again if no one else. Does anyone have any questions, any thoughts about this paragraph that was just read? All right, dear Brother Joel, feel free to continue with Upon the Banks of the Rivers.
Okay. Upon the banks of the river Kabar, Ezekiel beheld a whirlwind seeming to come from the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. A number of wheels intersecting one another were moved by four living beings. High above all these was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4. Verse 26, chapter 10, verse 8. The wheels were so complicated in arrangement that at first sight they appeared to be in confusion, yet they moved in perfect harmony. Heavenly beings, sustained and guided by the hand beneath the wings of the cherubim, were impelling those wheels. Above them, upon the sapphire throne, was the Eternal One, and round about the throne was a rainbow, the emblem of divine mercy. Amen.
Amen. Yes, amazing indeed. Does anyone have any questions or any thoughts, any feedback about this paragraph or the two paragraphs that were just read?
It would be interesting to know what Sister White, what words she would have used if she'd seen that same vision. confusion is, it stands out to me.
Yeah, it appeared to be so intricate that it could not possibly move in any kind of harmony and order. And yet we see that even though the work is complicated to human eyes, God is in control of it, and his perfect will be accomplished. So each one of us occupies a small place on this earth, but God sees the entire earth all at once. His work is extending worldwide. We only see or may be a part of a very small area of his work. And to us, it appears that how can the gospel go worldwide? Because we only see the little bit taking place in our particular sight of view. But God is in control of his work, and the message will spread to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and perfect harmony will occur in God's work and among his people. So we don't see perfect harmony, but God does. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And as we are reading this thing and the word confusion pops out, I know, and it seems to be in disarray, but what came to my mind is spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The Lord revealed to him that it was in perfect, like as we read here, perfect harmony, that it is his will and his provision. So to God be the glory. I'll take a minute to go ahead and read some of the things that are put in the chat. It says here, for man, it is great confusion, but it is in God's great order. Amen. And it says, it makes me think of the gears of a complicated clock. Also, the whole puzzle God can see and created it. And our dear sister said, amen, praise him for his help to us when we are thrown lemon and bitter lemons, life's trials. God helps us to make lemonade. Amen. Does anyone else have anything to add to what we just read? And as we continue to read on, we're going to find out more about this, what we've seen. So anyone else would like to read, starting from as the wheel-like complications were under the guidance? Feel free to bubble up.
As the wheel-like complications were under the guidance of the hand beneath the wings of the cherubim, so the complicated play of human events is under divine control. Amidst the strife and tumult of nations, he that sitteth above the cherubim still guides the affairs of this earth. Amen.
Amen. So to echo what we were just saying and what a few folks have just shared, what seemed to be in total disarray is under the keen watch, the perfect will of the Lord, and it's in his perfect providence for our lives. It reminds me of the scripture when it says for us to not lean upon our own understanding. We could only see just what is in front of us, but the Lord see everything as a whole from the beginning to the end. And I know if we can see why he chooses the thing that he chooses for us, then we would accept it, wholly accept it. But our faith has to be laid upon him and trust in him divinely that he will do all that is in his best interest for us. So to God be the glory once more. Does anyone else have anything else to share? Anyone would like to add anything else before we continue? All right. If anyone else would like to pick it up, we'll start at the history of nations. Actually, I'll go ahead and read that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Sister Karina, go ahead, please. Feel free.
Thank you. Sabbath blessings, everyone. The history of nations speak to us today. To every nation and to every individual, God has assigned a place in his great plan. Today, men and nations are being tested by the plummet in the hand of him who makes no mistake. All are by their own choice deciding their destiny, and God is overruling all for the accomplishment of his purposes.
Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord for that indeed. Again, as was just mentioned, if we could see, if we could only see, but for a moment, the reason why the Lord permits things to be the way that they are in our lives, we would choose them. It is because we are just limited to see but a small thing at a time. But if we would have implicit faith upon Him, we will trust in Him in every aspect of our lives, as we see that is pointed out here. Does anyone have anything else to add? Does anyone have any questions, any thoughts?
Yes.
Go ahead, dear brother.
Seeing all what's happening presently in the news, it makes you wonder. Above the distractions of earth, God sits enthroned. All things are open to His divine survey, and from His great and calm eternity, He orders that which His providence sees best. I wonder if He orders some of the wars, which are trying to happen right about now. I guess they're itching to go to war. I mean, the companies that make war materials, they want war so they can make some more money, as if they didn't have enough. But God orders that which His providence sees best. I found that in Counsels to the Church, chapter 10, page 77, paragraph 1, if it's anyone's interested. Thank you.
I do thank you for that too, dear brother, because that's really something to think on. What also gets me too, and I've kind of been chuckling here to myself, and it's because of he's so amazing. I just have to chuckle because he's so amazing. Okay, here's why I say that. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, okay, they used to believe that the sun went around the earth, okay? And then the Lord illuminated a mind and it was discovered, no, the earth goes around the sun. And then the earth's not flat, it's round. And then they just keep coming up with more and more that God already declared in His word what was going on. Okay, I say this for this because it just really blows my mind. There are many of these pseudoscientists that are out there speaking of aliens and all kinds of other stuff and coming up with all kinds of different crafts that are coming by the earth, and they're trying to figure out what it is. But you know what I find out? The Lord allowed mankind to come up with different instruments that discover more of His creation. And more of His creation. And the more they discover, the more confounded they become. Because what they thought they knew, they're finding out breaks all the so-called laws of physics that they had been going by for so long. And discovering things that are gargantuan in the universe that they are saying it's impossible for something like that to be, or they find some other thing going on. I said that for this reason, because it's like it goes back to the Lord overlooks the whole thing. There is nothing hidden from the sight of God. Everything is ordered. The stars are in their order. The planets are in their order. The unfallen worlds are right where they're supposed to be. Everything is going according to God's plan. And now they are still trying to figure out then, if everything is like we think it is, why is everything moving and we don't know what force is moving it? Well, that's God. But they can't say that that's God, because then that, I believe, would cause them to have to come to the realization that they have to give an account for their life. And that's not something man wants to do, because it's not something Satan wanted to do, is to give an account for his actions. So, yeah, God knows exactly what's going on, and he sees everything from every angle. There is no angle he can't see things from. But we, as Brother Rob was saying, we only see a little piece of it. It's like the ant is walking along the sidewalk, and he only sees the pieces of gravel he's walking over the sidewalk. He does not even notice how long that sidewalk is and what else is on it. He just knows the piece he's on. So we're kind of in that same situation, yet by the grace of God, I do see one more thing that is a blessing that God has given us, and that is the spirit of prophecy. So in the spirit of prophecy, he helps us to see a little more than what the world can possibly understand, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So for his children, we are not surprised. Though things may trouble us, we are not torn down, because we know our God sees everything, and even as the wheel within the wheel and the hands underneath there, it's all in order. So, okay, I ran my mouth a lot. Sorry about that.
Amen. It is welcome, dear brother. Thank you for your input. And I'll go ahead and read what's in the chat, and we'll read one more paragraph, and so we can go ahead and close tonight's service. Okay, so starting, it says, re-echo, while nations have rejected God's principles, and in this rejection have wrought their own ruin, yet a divine overruling purpose has manifestly been at work throughout the ages. Amen. And someone said, amen, so true. Truly, the more you think you know or think you know, the more you realize you have so much more to learn. Though so true, we have no idea. We haven't even begun to, like, hit the surface of what it is that is that we could know. But by the grace of God, we will be able to ask questions and get to know the more if we are so faithful. And then it also says exactly all according to God's plans, not man's discombobulated plans. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 was posted. And it says, now all these things happen unto them for an example, as they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Amen. And people tend to want to serve God how they want to serve God. And by that, I mean, we want to minimize and box, put the God in a box to serve our own purposes. But we know that is not the way. And we say, someone else said, thank God for divine wisdom. So thank you so much for your participation and for putting those comments in the chat. We'll go ahead and read one more paragraph and then see if we have any questions or anything to add, and then we will go ahead and ask for closing prayers and end this wonderful study that we've been having tonight. So if anyone else would like to read this last paragraph for the night, please feel free to go ahead and do so.
The prophecies which the great I Am has given in his word, uniting link after link in the chain of events, from eternity in the past to eternity in the future, tell us where we are today in the procession of the ages and what may be expected in the time to come. All that prophecy has foretold as coming to pass until the present time has been traced on the pages of history, and we may be assured that all which is yet to come will be fulfilled in its order.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Rob. Does anyone have anything to add or any questions? Any insights for this paragraph?
Not this paragraph, but the previous paragraph. We can go back up there. It says, to every nation and to every individual, God has assigned a place in his great plan. That means everyone on this earth, every individual in this chat room, God has assigned you a place in his great plan. So God has a work for every one of us to do. And it is by our own choice that we decide our destiny. And God is overruling everything that occurs throughout the entire world for the accomplishment of his purposes. So Brother Dick mentioned about wars. Is God ordaining wars to take place? And I don't think that he is, but he is overruling it so that war doesn't occur sooner than individuals want it to, and that it doesn't go to such a horrendous extreme as other individuals want it to go. So even though God doesn't say, go kill that person there, he overrules so that events occur for the accomplishment of his purposes. It's like with Job. The devil wanted to destroy Job, and God said, you can only go so far. It wasn't God that said, go destroy Job. It was the devil who's the author of destruction. But God allows it to a certain point for the accomplishment of his purposes. With Job, it was to show that someone can be loyal to God even though they lose everything. And that gives especially the 144,000 encouragement, because they're going to lose everything. They're going to be on the run for their lives. They're going to be in the desolate wilderness. They're not going to have the comforts of a wood stove or a heater or an electric blanket or something when it's cold out there. So they're going to have to depend upon God for everything. And thus, they are being tried and tested, and self has to be crucified so that the purpose of God is accomplished. And the last trace of earthliness is burned out of their character. They are truly prepared for heaven to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. So when you think that, you know, you don't have a place in God's work, someone else does, but you don't, remember, God allowed you to have life for just such a time as this. And if he allowed you to have life, then he has a place for you in his work. So go to work.
I would just like to add a little to that too, dear brother. And that is, I find it an exceedingly powerful thing that the Lord has given mankind. And that is free will. We can choose by free will to follow the Lord, and then the Lord adds power to that to give us strength to obey him and obey his law. Or we can use free will to disobey, and then the Lord gives us, it's a two-edged sword, the desire of our hearts. If the desire of our heart is heaven, and we are pressing on, activating, as Sister White had said, its will power is strong. We activate that willpower to do God's will, not our will. We're going to get heaven. But if we go ahead and we are practicing our will and training our will against the kingdom of God, and our desire is to do what is against God's will, we will get that desire. It will be ours. He's not lying. He is truth. So willpower, we have to exercise it even when we're depressed, even when we're lonely, even when we're hurting. We have to learn to exercise our willpower to grab hold of the promises that God has already given and believe them and will to believe them. I believe you, Lord, because I will to believe you. Or I can will not to believe you. I will be in unbelief. So I add that in because what our dear brother was saying is so strong, and I wanted to really be able to put that willpower in there where it needs to be, because it is, as he had underlined, it's a choice. And the choice means will. And we each one have such a beautiful, powerful gift from God called free will. So Satan cannot make us sin. He can tempt us to, but we have to will to do it. And if we will not to, Jesus moves in with power and gives us strength not to do it. And that, to me, is so much love. I don't even know where to put myself, really. It's so much love.
Amen. So beautiful. So true. What a savior indeed. Does anyone else have any thoughts, anything to add, any questions? Thank you so very much for you all joining today and for your participation and for your inputs and your insights. And it is greatly appreciated, and I pray that we were all blessed by being able to join together in the Lord's vineyard. Would anyone like to close with prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy watchful care. Thank you also that you're in control and everything is moving forward according to thy perfect plan and will. Father, I pray that you will allow the things that were shared tonight to have a spot in our memory. And dear Spirit, please bring them back to mind, to ponder upon, to study into, to seek to gain a better understanding of just how much you are involved in what is taking place in our lives as well as in the lives of others around the world. Thank you that prophecy is being fulfilled. Thank you that you trust us enough to have a place in thy great work. And help us to move forward in faith and achieve the purpose for which you gave us life. Thank you for thy great love, thy merciful kindness. And thank you, Father, for working through our dear sister Cece in leading out tonight. Please also work through others, that this home church family may be edified and may seek to edify others. And all for thy glory and the uplifting and exaltation of Jesus, our Savior. Thank you again for being here and for blessing this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Rob, for closing prayers. And once more, thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. Thank you for the participation. Thank you for the edification of each other. And until we meet again, keep looking up.
I think I heard my name. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.